Good morning, and peace be with you. We have announcements this morning by Lee, and I will not drone on for very long because he does a much better job, not of droning, but of announcing than I do. So, welcome. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter. And we have the Pentecost just around the corner, where we look forward to the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so this is an exciting time during the church calendar year. Today we're going to talk about another word picture of Jesus, our noble and excellent shepherd, explaining to us what it is like to abide in him. So, without further ado, Lee, will you come up and help us know what we need to know?
Good morning. I am really hoping that God and all of you will excuse the cap in church this morning. I've had some head work done, and it's taken a while to heal, and it's really not too pretty either, so it's supposed to be covered, so I've got both the medical and a reason for, you know, not subjecting all of you to it. Okay, missions this month is the end of the month, isn't it? Yeah, After the Rain Ministries Christian Counseling. It's a group of several different groups, it seems like, if you look at it online, that get together and provide different services for Christian services for the people who are looking for some help. And also, the second item on the right side there says we've donated a lot to charity the last few months, our missions. For the 3 months, it came to $1,675 that the church has donated through you, through us, I guess I should say. Prayer meeting is back this Wednesday at 11. Drew my line right through 11 o'clock in the morning. To pray for each other and for the needs of the church. June 1st, the Nick Galanitis will be back to do a concert for us, a piano concert. It'll be Saturday, June 1st at 5 o'clock, which should be enough time for everybody who worries about driving after dark to be able to get home before it does turn dark. And also, the last item there on the right side is Project Healing Waters, which is for disabled veterans. Roger Bice has been a member of that for a long time. If anybody has any interest in either helping out or donating, or if you need some services, some help, they do a lot of outside activities to try and help people just do normal things, you know, get their minds off of the other issues. A lot of it has to do with fishing and camping and things like that. But anyway, Roger has that. They've been around for a long time. I've read about them myself in American Legion magazine, so I know that they've been around and they do good things. So see Roger at after church, and he'll be happy. He'll be more than happy to share with you his experiences and everything. So Tim O'Donnell just had a birthday Friday, but he's not here to. I guess he's probably still celebrating it, I guess. So anyway, he just had a birthday on Friday, and Ken and Gail Yabuki, today is their anniversary, so congratulations, Ken. And I think that's the most that I have there, the normal stuff on the left side of the sheet with the dates and times and everything for the normal activities, in case anybody needs a reminder. So anyway, I've helped Pastor Ken drone, so I will get off the stage now. Thank you very much.
You'll notice that the technician that is normally here isn't. David is at home healing. He's got a cold or something. But I'm curious, for the people that are watching on Facebook, is the sound working for you? Can you throw a thumbs up on there for me? And otherwise, it's going to be quiet. But our opening hymn, Let Us Sing As Unto the Lord, is All Creatures of Our God and King on page 527. Okay.
Thank you.
stand if you're able. We come together this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, let us confess our sins to God, our Father, most merciful. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, and this can be found on page 1705 in the Pew Bible. Acts chapter 8, beginning with the 26th verse. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. We'll now read Psalm 150 responsively. It's printed in your bulletin on page 6. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbre. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everyone praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The epistle this morning is taken from the first book of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 21. And this can be found on page 1902 in the Pew Bible. 1 John, chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom the Holy Gospel according to St. John from the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and can be found on page 1676 of your Pew Bible. John records, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me also as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. It's interesting, different translations. Our Pew Bibles are NIV. The Bible that I study from is an ESV, and you'll notice a difference in one word. That was in remain, was the word that I read in the gospel today. Abide is the word that is in many texts. Our noble, our most excellent shepherd, Jesus, loves to use word pictures to help his people understand his teaching, and I'm grateful for it. For example, he speaks of his church as the bride and himself as the groom. He also speaks of his church as his body and himself as the head. And last week we heard him teach that he is the good shepherd, and that we are the sheep of his flock, the sheep for whom he lays down his life and takes it up again. And today we hear about botany Jesus, or vineyard Jesus, when he says he is the vine and we are the branches. Jesus tells us that it is good for us to abide in him. Just as it is good for the branch to abide in the vine, so also it is good for us to abide in Christ. Now, we no longer use that word abide as often as we once did. In fact, one may ask, what does it mean to abide? Especially, what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, just first off, the word abide does not describe an action. Instead, it describes a condition. We have other words that do just that, such a thing. These words are stand, or stay, or remain, and so forth. So when I say that a statue stands in the hallway, the statue is not really doing anything. It is just standing there. And that is the source of the expression. You might have heard it. I know I have. Don't just stand there. Do something. Well, that depends on the fact that standing is not really doing. The word abide is like that. It's not something you do. In reality, it is something that you are. A fairly simple understanding of plants makes it fairly obvious that no branch can survive very long without the vine. The exception is the plumeria that comes from the king's yard. The vine is the source of food for the branch. Without food, the branch will starve to death. The branch must remain in, stay in, abide in the vine if it is to survive. Now, we know that a branch cannot attach itself to a vine. Either the vine grows, the branch, or someone has to graft the branch into the vine. In order for us to abide in the vine, someone or something must first place us in the vine. Now, the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to record an excellent example of just how that happens in today's first lesson when Ken read Acts. We read that God dispatched an angel to Philip and told him to journey to a specific place in the desert. And there, Philip met an Ethiopian official who was returning home from Jerusalem. Now, apparently, this official was wealthy, or in today's words, he was loaded. He was reading scripture, so that meant that there was a driver. He was traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, so there had to be supplies for the trip. We read that there was room for Philip to sit down in the chariot with this official. This chariot was the first century like-in-kind to a limousine. What is more, this official actually owned, in his possession, he had a copy of Isaiah. And this is at a time when all books were hand-copied. It would be in a scroll. And Luke identified this official as the treasurer of the country of Ethiopia. Now, this man was well off financially, but he was not connected to Christ. And Philip asked him, you may recall, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? That's Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. He was reading Isaiah, but he did not understand. And those who abide in Christ know that Jesus suffered and died on the cross to save them from sin, and they will recognize the words of Isaiah as words that describe that suffering and dying, the words that point to Christ crucified. Now listen to the words that lead up to the words from Isaiah that were quoted in today's reading. Isaiah recorded, surely he was born, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. And then came the words that we heard read today, as quoted on Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. He said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. That's Isaiah 53, 7. And later Isaiah goes on to say, he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That is Isaiah 53, 12. This is all part of the great suffering servant prophecy of Isaiah. And it begins in Isaiah 52, verse 13, and it continues all the way through Isaiah 53. This is one of the greatest poetic descriptions of Jesus on the cross in the Bible. And it was written approximately 700 years before Jesus was born. The one who abides in Christ abides in his words and knows that the entire Bible is about Jesus. Philip knew that the Bible is about Jesus. So Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus, Acts 8:35. Now, although it takes just a few moments to describe what Philip did, we should not think that Philip's instruction of the official was equally as short, because we know that he had to tell him that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He had to tell him how Jesus unpacked Moses with the Sermon on the Mount. He had to teach this Ethiopian about the events of Holy Week. He especially had to teach how Jesus suffered and died and took away the sins of the world and then rose again from the dead. And he had to teach how the Holy Spirit gives faith that receives the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned on the cross. He had to teach all these things and more. The Bible does not tell us how long Philip taught, but it would not be unreasonable to think that Philip taught for the rest of the day and perhaps into the next day. We should not think that it was a few quick sound bites, and that the teaching was finished. No, this was an interaction, a fellowship. We know the teaching was quite extensive because the official knew about baptism. For as they were going along, it is recorded in Acts, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So the official, he desired the blessings that only the Holy Spirit delivers in baptism. And Philip baptized him. The Holy Spirit is now connected to the official. And he's connected the official to Christ as a branch that is connected to the vine. It is as Martin Luther said, "Whoever is baptized in Christ is baptized through his suffering and blood." Or, to state it more clearly, through baptism, he bathed in the blood of Christ, and he is cleansed from sins. Jesus compared himself to the vine and us to the branches. And therefore, we must remain in. We must stay in. We must abide in Jesus if we are to survive. Separation from Jesus means starvation for us. Nature provides us with this very example of the separation that occurs every autumn. During the spring and summer, we see green plants that are full of chlorophyll. And chlorophyll, as we know, is very green, and it gives plants the green color that they have during the spring and during the summer. And chlorophyll also helps plants use sunshine to make food and to stay alive. However, when the weather cools down in the autumn, some tree leaves grow what is called a separation layer. The separation layer stops the flow of nutrition into the leaves, and the green chlorophyll goes away. And then all the other colors of the leaves start to show up. And the colors have always been there. It's just that you can't see them because of the powerful green of the chlorophyll. And these beautiful colors of the trees in the autumn tells us that the chlorophyll is gone from the leaves. It also tells us that the leaves are dead. And soon they will fall from the tree, and the branches of the tree will look very bare indeed. And the fall colors are a bittersweet beauty, and the colors can be amazing, but they are a reminder of death, the death of leaves that have separated themselves from the tree. And again, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, John 15, 1 through 2. And with these words, Jesus teaches us the sad truth, that the church also has those people who grow a separation layer. And this separation layer cuts them off from Jesus. And this means that they are cut off from forgiveness. They are cut off from salvation, and they are cut off from eternal life. They may be beautiful, like the autumn leaves, but they are spiritually dead. And eventually, the Father will take them away. Jesus contrasted those who abide in him with those who do not. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into fire and buried. This is a very terrifying prospect, that is, to be dried and to be gathered and to be thrown in the fire of hell because we do not abide in Christ. And this makes it very clear that there is no salvation except in Jesus Christ. He is the only way. So we have learned that it is essential for us to remain in, to stay in, to abide in Jesus. And one may think, well, that's all very well and good for the people back then. They could touch Jesus. They could talk with him. They could eat with him. In general, they could hang out with him. But how did they abide when Jesus ascended into heaven? And indeed, what are we to do today now that we no longer have his visible presence? How do we abide in Jesus? Well, Jesus himself gave the answer to that question as well. He said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15, verse 7. These words teach us that Jesus abides in us when his words abide in us. And it is, as Martin Luther said, Christ adds this comment here, just pay attention to my word, for everything depends on whether my word remains in you. So we see that to abide in Christ is to abide in his word, the very same word that Philip shared with the official from Ethiopia. So we see that the Holy Spirit uses the same word of God to connect us to Jesus and to keep us in Jesus. And all who abide in Christ's word, who abide in Christ, they abide in Christ in his life, in this life, and forever in the next. In the name of Jesus, amen. Stand if you're able. Let us now confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed printed on page 3 in your bulletin. I believe in God. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in accordance to their needs. Lord God, your only Son came in the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Protect us from all false teaching and the spirit of the Antichrist, that we may always confess Christ to be our only true God and remain faithful to Him. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you have grafted us onto the vine of your Son. Prune us and cut off from us all sin and dead works, that we may always draw life from your Son and produce the fruits of faith and good works. Lord, in your mercy, Savior of all people, in the water of baptism, you welcome sinners into your kingdom and give them life. Grant that we would always honor and extol this gift and let nothing prevent people from it. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, give health and guidance to our president and all in authority, that they may serve honorably and in accord with your good order. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, you hear and answer your children in their hour of need. Grant that they would hear their crosses, they would bear their crosses with faith, ever looking to you, and so fix their hearts where true joy is found. Lord, in your mercy, O God, you are love, and you always reveal your love through your Son. Grant that all who come to your feast of love may worthily eat of Christ's body and blood, so that whoever abides in this love forever abides in you and you in him. Lord, in your mercy, and Holy Father, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Hear and answer our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, and your saints shall bless you. For you live and reign with the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let us share the peace. All right, soldiers, will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, and ever-living God. But chiefly, we are bound to praise you for your glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. And then he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the perfect prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
You may be seated. It's his word and his Holy Spirit that helps us, keeps us, enables us, not just helps, but enables us to abide in him. You heard the word today. You're in the word during the week, and you're about to taste the word that gives salvation, that rescues you from sin, death, and the devil. And if that's your confession, come. The table is prepared. The ushers will bring you forward. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is Amazing Grace.